Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3. There is a verse here that I want us to think about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And if you just keep your finger there, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Where the Apostle Paul is writing, there hath no temptation taken you, and it really refers to trials in the first instance, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then in the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. There are three verses that I've just read here. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. And you will notice the common denominator, no doubt, in each of those verses. In Deuteronomy, it speaks of the faithful God. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, God is faithful. And 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, the Lord is faithful. And that's our subject for consideration in the prayer meeting tonight. God's faithfulness. The Lord is a faithful God. As human beings, we're well acquainted with a world of unfaithfulness. There are many people that we encounter, whether it be in the business world or in any other strata of society, people are often untrustworthy. They're unfaithful. You find that there's a lot of unfaithfulness and infidelity within relationships in the world, within marriage. There are vows that are taken before God that are broken by folks with impunity. It's true even in the church. There are men, ministers, who solemnly swear at their ordinations to hold to certain positions. They're going to hold to the scriptures alone or to scriptural confessions of faith, and sometimes they abandon that profession and they're found to be unfaithful. Unfaithfulness is certainly a characteristic of many in this world. And if we're being honest, we would have to say, strictly speaking, even those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have not been as faithful to the Lord as we should have been. To some extent, whether to a greater extent or a lesser extent, we have been unfaithful to him in spite of his great faithfulness. But it's wonderful to know that even in spite of our own unfaithfulness, there is one who is ever faithful. Our God is a faithful God. And that's something that we find, and this is my first point tonight, recorded in the scriptures. The faithfulness of God is recorded in the scriptures. There are many, many scriptures that talk about this, not just the three verses that I began with. References to God's fidelity, to God's faithfulness. For example, turn to the book of Psalms and you'll see, first off, in Psalm 36 and verse 5, there is a reference to this great theme. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy faithfulness. We see it again in Psalm 89 and the first verse, And also in the 8th verse, Psalm 89 verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And by the way, that verse can be sung as a chorus. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Look at the 8th verse. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. And there are many other scriptures which illustrate this and which clearly state this, that God is faithful. This great attribute of the Lord is applied in Scripture especially to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, being God, we know when the Bible says that God is faithful and the Lord is faithful, it's true of Him. But there are verses that specifically refer to Him as being faithful. For example, Hebrews 2 verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful high priest. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 and verse 5, there is one of the titles of Christ given. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Then again, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, there is a reference to the faithfulness of the Savior. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Faithful and true. He is a faithful Savior. When we think of the fact that the Lord is faithful, it's recorded in Scripture that His Word itself is faithful. God's words can be trusted. We can, to use a worldly phrase, take it to the bank when God tells us something. His word is true. His word of promise is true. The Lord has given us hundreds and hundreds of promises that we can plead before Him even in the place of prayer. But His words of threatening are also faithful. What God threatens to carry out, He will carry out. He's not a bluffer. His word will certainly be fulfilled. There's a scripture that comes to mind here, way back in Genesis, in chapter number 8 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. There you have a promise from God, something that God says will come to pass. I'm not worried that the earth is going to be destroyed by so-called climate change or global warming. The Lord is in charge, and His word is faithful. In 1 Kings chapter 8, then, and verse 56, we have a reference that is very interesting. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. Not one word of God's promise has fallen to the ground. Every word is true, every word comes to pass, every word is faithful. God's word is a faithful word because it's the word of a faithful God. You can trust His word. If the Lord says it, that settles it. Psalm 119, verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. God's word is a faithful word. We talk about the threatenings of God. We recall how God threatened to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. What happened? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. God threatened to slay the firstborn of the Egyptians. What happened? He destroyed the firstborn in every Egyptian home. He threatened that he would destroy and overthrow Jericho before the children of Israel. What happened? That's exactly what happened. The walls of Jericho fell down under them. All came to pass, for his word is faithful. And it's true of the great promises of the Lord. Sometimes, as we've already indicated, we are unfaithful. And we don't always mean to be. You know, sometimes we make promises that we don't keep because we can't keep them. Now, we shouldn't have made the promise in the first place if we couldn't keep it. But that's what we do sometimes. We make promises that we do not fulfill or we cannot fulfill. And listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It's speaking here of that very thing. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He abideth faithful. The Lord is a faithful God. His word can be trusted. His word is true. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And it's the words in brackets that we want to think about. For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. You're never going to find a time when a promise that God has made to you is not fulfilled. He will always keep his word. His word is faithful. It's true to say as well that his works are faithful. All the Lord's works are faithful. The book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, speak about this very thing. In chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And then you have those words upon which the song is based. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. God is faithful in providing for us, isn't he? He gives us our daily bread. He makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall. His works of providence are faithfully carried on from day to day. And in every respect we can say with Joel the prophet, he faileth not. He faileth not. The faithfulness of God not only has been recorded in the scriptures, but the faithfulness of God is ever revealed toward the saints. That's my second point. The faithfulness of God is ever revealed toward his saints. You think about their salvation. God is faithful in regard to his own people, faithful in reference to their salvation. Someone said to a preacher one time, you know, all you've got for your salvation is a piece of paper with some writing on it. And he thought the preacher would disagree with him, and the preacher agreed with him. The preacher said, yeah, you're absolutely right. All I've got for my salvation is some paper with some writing on it. But he says, what makes the difference is that it's God's writing. It's God's writing. It's what God has said. And that's what makes all the difference. If some preacher told us that we were saved, we could believe it or not believe it. It may be true, it may not be true. I wouldn't want to trust the word of a preacher. I wouldn't want to trust the word just of another Christian telling me that I was saved or I wasn't saved. I want God to tell me. And as I come to his word, we find that the Lord has kept his word to those who are now saved. Think of some of the statements that God has made to us. Matthew 11 verse 28, for example. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are people who have come heavy laden, burdened down to the Lord, and he has been as faithful as his word because he has given them rest. Think of that other great promise, John 6, verse 37, especially the latter part of the text. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a promise that is. There are times when you feel worse than at other times. Sometimes you don't feel like you're saved. Maybe you got out of bed the wrong side that morning, or something happened during the day and you don't particularly feel saved. But it's nothing to do with feeling saved. It's to do with what God has said. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances will I turn you away. What a wonderful promise that is regarding their salvation. Or how about Romans 10:13? For whosoever, and that means anyone at all, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can plead that before God. Lord, this is what thou hast said. If I call upon your name, you will save me. He is faithful that promised. Well, I don't know whether the Lord will forgive my sins or not. Well, what does his word say? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Faithful. And just. To forgive us our sins. Oh, the justice of God. If Christ has paid the debt of our sins, he must forgive us our sins. He's just. And to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No. All unrighteousness. What a promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful that promised. In reference to their salvation, God's faithfulness has been revealed toward the saints. And in connection with that, we can speak about their preservation. That same portion that we read from in 2 Thessalonians comes into play here. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. There's the preserving grace of God. The Lord has promised to do that. Why? Because he's faithful. The Lord is faithful, who will keep us from evil. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9? God is faithful. There it is again. So many scriptures with the same thought within it. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at the verse just before it. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the preserving grace of God. He will keep us. He will keep us. But this faithfulness of God has not only been revealed in reference to their salvation and their preservation, I think it's also revealed in their affliction. Is there anyone among us who's never been afflicted? If you haven't, then just wait a little while. Because affliction is the lot of God's people. And there are many different kinds of afflictions that come upon us. They're not all physical. Sometimes they're emotional or mental. Sometimes they're afflictions that are spiritual. Doubts and fears and trepidation that comes upon our hearts. There are afflictions that come upon the people of God. Psalm 119 verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The idea that the devil puts into your mind, and maybe your own heart thinks about it, that the affliction is some sort of a punishment, or it's because God is angry. How does that square with this verse? It doesn't. No, he says, thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. It's because the Lord is faithful toward us that he allows us to be afflicted, to go through times of trouble and trial. It's because the Lord loves us. There's some purpose that he has for us. There's something that he's working out in our lives for us that's for our good, ultimately. Now, we can't see that. It's impossible for us to see that. I know I've used the illustration before, but I'll use it again because it's the best one I can think of. Someone wrote that our life the Christian's life is a bit like a tapestry. And if you look at a tapestry, from the top, there's a picture that's clear and understandable. But if you turn it over, it's just a mass of threads and knots and colored threads. It makes no sense. And this person who wrote about that said that my life as a Christian is a tapestry that I look at from the underside. So I'm looking up and I'm seeing all these threads and knots. It doesn't make any sense. Things are unconnected. The trials, the afflictions, the problems. How could this be part of God's beautiful picture for me? But remember this, the Lord's looking down on the tapestry. He's the one that's weaving that tapestry in our lives. And you know what it is to him? It's a beautiful picture where everything fits. And everything is in its rightful place. The good experiences, the negative experiences, the trials, the troubles, the illnesses, the bereavements, whatever it may be, it all goes to make up that picture. You say, well, that's a lovely thought, but it's hard for me to believe that. I know it's hard for you to believe that. It's hard for me to believe that. But we have to accept it by faith. We'll have to accept it by faith because the Bible tells us so. In Psalm 89, verses 32 and 33, the scripture says this, "Then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." So there you have chastisement, if you like. "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." So the Lord's faithfulness remains. It remains solid, even in our times of affliction. And I could say that on this particular point, the writer Arthur Pink made the following comments about affliction. "There are seasons in the lives of all when it is not easy, not even for Christians, to believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried, our eyes dimmed with tears, and we can no longer trace the outworking of his love. Our ears are distracted with the noises of the world, harassed by the atheistic whisperings of Satan, and we can no longer hear the sweet accents of his still small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. Friends on whom we relied have failed us. A professed brother or sister in Christ has betrayed us. We are staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, and now a dark cloud hides him from us. We find it difficult, yes, impossible, for carnal reasons to harmonize his frowning providence with his gracious promises. Thy testimonies which thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." God has not only told us the best, but also he has not withheld the worst. He has faithfully described the ruin which the fall effected. He has faithfully diagnosed the terrible state which sin produced. He has faithfully made known his inveterate hatred of evil and that he must punish the same. He has faithfully warned us that he is a consuming fire. But he says God is faithful. God is faithful in disciplining his people. He is faithful in what he withholds, no less than in what he gives. Chastening is not only reconcilable with God's loving kindness, but also it is the effect and expression of it. It would quiet the minds of God's people if they would remember that his covenant love binds him to lay on them seasonable correction. Afflictions are necessary for us. And then he quotes a text, Hosea 5:15, "In their affliction they will seek me early." Very often our afflictions drive us to the type of praying that we wouldn't normally do if we weren't afflicted. And therefore it's got to be a good thing for us. God is faithful. May we trust him. May we continue to look to him. May we realize that it is in love and not in anger that all his chastenings will come. The Lord is faithful. May God help us to believe that, even when circumstances would seem to militate against that. May we believe it. God is faithful, and he will be faithful unto the end. Amen.